Greetings in Jesus' name. This is Daniel King again with Daily Inspiration. God bless you this morning as you look to the Lord for the life that He has promised for all those that seek Him. I would like to share a bit this morning on some of the, along the same lines that I was sharing in the past few days about the temptations that are in this world and the promises that Jesus Christ has for us, and some of the error of some of the beliefs that are around us and the effect it has on us. I read a story last evening about how that pilots, especially with these smaller planes, if they are not relying on their instruments, but rather are just trying to fly in a straight line, how that a headwind, when they're flying into the wind, is more like a nuisance because it slows down the trip and it takes more fuel, and how that a tailwind is a benefit. And so, but both of them do not necessarily throw someone off course, meaning a direct opposition from Satan usually is much more evident and does not have the potential to deceive us. And then, of course, your tailwind illustration would be, you know, Jesus Christ and the power of Christ in our lives enabling us to you know, that would be the power in our lives. But the warning, or that the thing that pilots face that usually ends up throwing them off course is the crosswind, and those are much more subtle, because you think you're flying in a straight line, but because there's a wind to the one side, you're actually slightly drifting to the one side. And in years gone by, in the early days of flying, that was one of the challenges of flying, because if you did not know the lay of the land, but rather just headed, like, say, straight north or straight east or straight south, and had a crosswind, you were drifting and you did not know it. And so that's why I think it's important that we recognize what our surroundings are and be assured that we're not affected by them without realizing it in a subtle way. It says here in 2 Peter verse 3, or sorry, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 17. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And it's very evident. Here's another verse in Ephesians chapter, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, means by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And it says in Ephesians 5 verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And I have noticed already in my experience in the Christian life that there are those men, and sometimes it's hard for us to see this in the beginning, But back to this Ephesians 4 verse 14, it says, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And it's sometimes hard to see that in the beginning when we meet certain individuals who come to us with a doctrine that is not the doctrines of Jesus Christ. But it's usually pulled out of a verse and therefore amplified. If there's a way to take certain verses out of Scripture and amplify them and read them in out of the context of what it was written in, and therefore be reading Scripture in a way that is not really what the Scripture is saying. In 2 Peter verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16, just one verse before the one I read, it says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So it's talking about, I think what this is talking is this illustration of crosswinds. It's not a direct headwind against us, Satan coming against us with direct untruth that is easy to be discerned, but rather it's kind of a crosswind to where you're not sure if this wind is your friend or your enemy. You know, if you're flying and you have a headwind, in a sense, it's resisting you, and if you have a tailwind, it's helping you. And so sometimes you have a crosswind, you're not quite sure which category to put it in. And so it's easy to appreciate, let's say you have a wind that's a bit to the side, but mostly in your tail. It's often easy to appreciate a wind like that. Speaking of the illustration there with the pilot. But at the same time, this will, in the long run, throw you off course. And that's why it's important that we see those things for what they are. And those are the ones that are cunning and crafty. Those things that sometimes people who name the name of Christ bring into our lives, and therefore bringing us, not right away, but slowly and subtly bringing us to destruction. And I think those are the things that we need to beware of, and to realize that everything needs to be interpreted, every doctrine needs to be interpreted in light of the Scripture as a whole, and not just take certain verses and amplify them. One example I'd like to give of an example is many people read John 10. A few verses there in John 10 where it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. And those are very comforting words. As a matter of fact, those have been a comfort to me many a time in my Christian life. It's a little bit like these words in John chapter 14, verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And it's a little bit like some of those verses are that you can pick out, especially in the Gospel of John, that are very comforting. And you know, if we're going through a hard time, they are very comforting. Comfort coming directly from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I think that is the context of these verses here in John 10. It's talking about, in the beginning here, it's talking about the sheep of the fold and how that Jesus is the shepherd and the safety that is in the sheepfold. And it says that the sheep, the thief, cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But it says that Jesus is saying, I am come, that they might have life, and then they might have it more abundantly. That's John 10, verse 10. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so the whole context of this chapter here is Jesus is giving us the comfort and the assurance that he, as a shepherd, will defend his sheep. And he's saying, you know, in verse 12 here it says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeing the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth his sheep. It's saying that Jesus is promising that he is the good shepherd, and that there is never a time throughout ever for all eternity that Jesus will leave his sheep. That is a very comforting assurance that we as believers can have. Many men have risen and fallen, have proclaimed things, and have not been able to stand behind them. Jesus is saying that'll never happen in his kingdom. So what people have done already in verse 28 and 29 is they have taken them out of context, and you know, where it says that neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And they have interpreted those verses as saying that it is impossible to be led astray. It is impossible for a person that has become a Christian at one point in his life to ever be, in a sense, taken out of the sheepfold, or taken out of the kingdom, or to be lost, or that his name be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe that that is taking that out of context, because, in a sense, the context of this verse is that Jesus is assuring his people that he himself will not allow any tempter or any wolf or any being to come and kidnap us, in a sense, out of his kingdom. It's a little bit like a father with his son. The father could say to his son, this is an illustration, that, look, you're safe as long as you're with me. There's nothing going to happen to you. And so the son can have that assurance that as long as he stays with his father, he will not get kidnapped. Whether they're going, you know, traveling and they're in a strange country, or, you know, for whatever reason they might be out in the woods, and the father's just assuring his son, as long as you stay with me, you're safe. But what the father, what would be out of the father's power is if that son would, of his own initiative, choose to wander away from his father. That would then so I think the same is true here, and you know, how do we know this? How do we know that this is not consistent with other scripture? Is because there's many verses that warn us about, you know, not following false doctrine and about being deceived, and about falling away. And so we know that in light of those warnings, we need to take those things seriously. Because what has happened here is people read a verse like this and assume that there's just no way that I can ever fall away. And they assume that they are Christians, they embrace that and embrace the fact that you can't fall away. Well, what that does is it creates almost like a battle's over type of mentality. You know, the battle's won, the battle's over, and it's just a matter of going through life until God calls me home. And therefore creates a mentality of nothing really matters. And usually out of that comes all kinds of room for Satan to come in and tempt us. And so that was just an illustration I wanted to give this morning to beware of, about the doctrines that are out there. And that's just one of many, about the importance of comparing Scripture with Scripture and knowing the heart of our Father in heaven and having His Spirit within us to discern right from wrong in these last days. God bless you, and may He keep you in His care.